John chapter 17, verse 17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." God's word is truth. All right, now let me ask a question that should go without asking. But where Jesus says that God's word is truth, how many of you believe that? If you believe that, raise your hand. Well, apparently most everybody in here believes that. God's word is truth. But now this time, don't respond outwardly, just on the inside. Make a determination. How many of you really believe that? How many of you have ever heard this phrase, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights"? Where did that come from?
Declaration
of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident. In other words, there are certain things that we have put in writing that we believe to be self-evident. In other words, the statements by themselves are all you need. You don't need anything beyond what you read to understand that it is truth. Well, by the same token, Jesus has made a declaration here that God's word is truth. Therefore, we should be able to make the same statement about God's word. We hold these truths to be self-evident. In other words, all we have to do is read it, and it's true. We don't have to see an outward demonstration of it. Just the fact that it's written makes it true, whether we see it before our eyes or not. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Now, this message is going to kind of dovetail, I guess, with some things that we've looked at here recently. And we're going to look at some verses we've looked at time and time and time again. But I want you to see them once more. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now look at verse 4. "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church." The first part of that. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Or he that prayeth in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. We hold this truth to be self-evident. He that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. This is truth. It is God's word. And we have already been in agreement here tonight that we believe God's word is truth. Therefore, if God's word is truth, and this is written in God's word, we hold this truth to be self-evident. He that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Now, look in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, look at verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Again, we have agreed that what Jesus spoke is correct. It is true that God's word is truth. Since God's word is truth, and this is written in God's word, therefore, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We hold this truth to be self-evident. I don't need anything else other than what I see right here. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I hold this truth to be self-evident simply by virtue of the fact it is written in God's word, and I can read it. So therefore, I don't have to feel faith coming. I don't have to have an emotional experience to know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Because it's in God's word, and God's word is truth, therefore I hold this truth to be self-evident. All I need are these words, and I know it's true. Now, look over in Jude. Verse 20. 21. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, the first part of verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God. And verse 20 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and then it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Therefore, this is in God's Word. I know it is true. I hold this truth to be self-evident. I now know that I edify myself when I pray in the Holy Spirit. I also know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now I know that I build myself up on my most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. I hold this truth to be self-evident. I do not need any more evidence that this is true other than what I see and hear. This is an eternal truth that's not going to change. This is God's Word. It is truth. And he says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. So I know also then that praying in the Holy Ghost has something to do with keeping myself in the love of God. Now look back over in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but look at this, but faith which worketh by love. All right, now I've established the fact that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I've established the fact, the truth, that I build myself up on my most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost, and I'm keeping myself in the love of God, and then I see that faith worketh by love. So as I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, I'm building myself up on my most holy faith while at the same time keeping myself in the love of God. And the love of God is the very thing then that is energizing or producing activity in the realm of my faith. Now, turn over to Romans chapter 5. And look in verse 5. It said, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." The love of God is shed abroad in our Holy Ghost, or in our hearts, by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So as I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, I'm building myself up on my most holy faith. I'm keeping myself in the love of God. Faith works by love, and God's love is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. So obviously, the more that I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, I'm not just building myself up on my most holy faith. I'm not just edifying myself. I'm not just keeping myself in the love of God. But it's as though I've opened up the door of my heart to allow the Holy Spirit to get in there and shed God's love abroad in my heart. The love that I received from Him on the inside when I was born again, that love He takes and it's shed abroad in my heart. It's not just deposited into my heart, but it's shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. So therefore, if I leave the Holy Spirit out of this equation, then I have no right to expect that He's going to be doing His part in causing the love of God to be shed abroad in my heart. Likewise, if the love of God is not shed abroad in my heart, I'm not keeping myself in the love of God. Therefore, I have no reason to believe that my faith is going to be energized or made active or is going to be working. Do you see what I'm saying? Because faith works by love. Now, look over in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 6. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Without faith it is impossible to please God. So, if it's impossible to please God without faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and I have build myself up on my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and I'm keeping myself in the love of God, and the Holy Ghost is shedding God's love abroad in my heart, and faith works by love, then that should tell me that not only then is it impossible to please God without faith, it's also impossible for me to please God without the Word and without His love. Because if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and I'm not hearing and hearing by the Word of God, then how can I say I'm being pleasing unto God? Are you with me? See, this is a cycle in the Word of God that establishes an eternal truth. And I mean, it's almost like you know how when people sing that song, Row, Row, Row Your Boat, one person sings and then the next person, you know, chimes in. It's called a round. This is almost a round. Now, the Bible also says that the just shall live by faith. Where it says the just shall live by faith, that tells us that those who have been justified, or put it simply, those who are born again. Those who are born again have a responsibility to live by faith. If I have a responsibility to live by faith and I'm not living by faith, then I'm not living up to my responsibility, and neither am I pleasing unto God. And I can tell you another thing. If you spend time praying in the Holy Spirit, it's going to be impossible not to live by faith. So, well, how do you know that? Because the more you spend praying in the Holy Spirit, the more He is going to start dealing with you about your lack of getting in the Word. Because He knows unless faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, it's going to be difficult for Him to build you up on much. And let me just throw this in, because the Lord just threw it in. Working on your papers for college is simply a scholastic exercise. Let me say that again. Working on your papers for college is simply a scholastic exercise. In my experience, it is very rare that I have encountered anyone who has actually taken the writing of their papers as a spiritual experience. It has been nothing more than a scholastic exercise, because it was an assignment necessary to pass a class, to work toward a degree, whether it's a bachelor's, a master's, or a doctor's. It doesn't matter. They go through the exercise. You say, well, how can you tell that? It's very simple. When you teach class at a college level long enough, and there are expectations of papers to be written, but yet you never see the evidence of changed lives, then you know it's basically just a scholastic exercise, and people are really not doing it for their spiritual enrichment. That is the danger. That is a trap that exists in the realm of education. Because people get so focused on, I've got to get my degree, I've got to pass this class, I have to become a bachelor's of something, or a master's of something, or a PhD in something, I've got to do that, that the goal becomes the degree and not what God could do in the process of attending the classes. And that's why it's very important that no matter where you would possibly go to school, you don't look at it as just a way to go to school and just, well, you know, I've always wanted to go to Bible college. Why? Why? What? So what? Why do you want to do that? Just to say you went? Or because of what God can do in your life in the process? One of the most, I think, sad things is when people would go to a university, a Bible Christian university or college, just to be able to say that they went, and yet by the time they're finished, there has been no real change in their lives. They have just wasted 4 or 6 or 8 years. You say, Brother Martin, that just really sounds different coming from somebody who just started a Bible college or a uni. Well, those of you that are enrolled, I think there's a strong, strong probability somewhere along the line you're going to hear that. And the people in the class are going to hear it. Because that's how I look at it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You keep yourself in the love of God by praying in the Holy Spirit. Faith works by love. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Without faith it is impossible to please God. The just shall live by faith. These are self-evident truths. These are self-evident, eternal, non-changing truths. Now, When it comes to all of this edification and this building up, we are taught that our confession is the release of our faith. That what we speak, what we confess, is the release of our faith. And that's true. Even with God, you see that. Back in Genesis chapter 1, the release of our faith comes through what we confess, what we speak. And Jesus himself said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Okay? Now, you know, that's a very interesting kind of a statement. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so, what we do is we come up with this concept that, well, I'm a faith person now, and so what I'm supposed to say should line up with God's Word. I am supposed to say things like, by His stripes I was healed. I am supposed to say things like, my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm supposed to say things like, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm supposed to say things like, I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Those are the things I'm supposed to say because, you see, I am a faith person. I no longer live in unbelief. I no longer live according to traditions. I no longer live according to the doctrines of the church or denomination I came out of. But see, now I understand these things. I am full gospel. I am word and faith. I am Holy Ghost. I'm not moved by what I see or by what I hear or by what I feel. I'm only moved by the Word of God. So I'm a faith person, and that's the way I'm supposed to be. Well, that's true. But you know what? All of what I just described actually becomes its own tradition. So what do you mean? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Now, here's what that is not saying. Out of the abundance of what you call yourself as a faith person, out of the abundance of who you're supposed to be, out of the abundance of what you've been trained to say or believe about yourself, your mouth speaketh. Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh. Not out of the abundance of your mind, the mouth speaketh. Not out of the abundance of your training, your mouth speaketh. But out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh. This phrase, when Jesus said that, this is not implying, how can I put this? It's not implying a choice. And let me explain that. You're faced with a situation. Well, here's the situation. And man, it stinks. I mean, I look at this and there doesn't seem to be any way out. Doesn't seem to be any relief. Doesn't seem to be any hope. I mean, it looks like all is lost. But over here, these are the kind of things that my pastor has told me I'm supposed to say. Therefore, I look at the situation, I see the stinky situation, but my pastor says I'm supposed to say these kinds of things. And so therefore, I will pick this one and this one and this one, and these are the things that I'm going to say in relation to that situation. In other words, you had to stop and think about what it was you were supposed to say before you said it. What does that reveal? It reveals that the abundance of your heart is not what you're supposed to say, but the abundance of your mind is what you've been trained to say. Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh. In other words, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth will automatically release what's in there. Your mouth will, without having to stop and think about it, without having to stop and ponder how it's been trained, without having to stop and consider, well, now, what do I say in this kind of a situation? What's the right response? What has Pastor taught me to say when these kind of things come up? It won't be like that. Because the abundance of your heart is going to produce your response. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. Praying in the Holy Ghost builds you up on your most holy faith. It keeps you in the love of God. The love of God is what causes your faith to work. God, the Holy Spirit sheds the love of God abroad in your heart. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, and the just shall live by faith. And your faith is released through your confession. You know, when James talks about faith without works is dead, do you understand that part of the works of faith is your confession? It's not just walking on water. Part of the works of your confession or of your faith is what you confess. Because if you understand that your faith, if your confession is the release of your faith, then you're going to understand that part of the work of my faith is to confess that which I'm supposed to confess. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of your heart, your automatic response is going to come forth. Anybody can come to church and talk faith. You can have a prayer line and people can come up and say, how can I pray for you? Well, I just know by His stripes I was healed. I just know by His stripes. I just know God sent His Word and healed me, delivered me from all my destruction. I just know Jesus took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses. I just know that, Pastor. I just know that. Okay. In the name of Jesus, we call you healed. Oh, yeah. That felt so good. Then when it's over, and you go home, you go to work on Monday, and somebody comes up to you and says, well, how you doing? Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. Well, you know, I got to go back to the doctor and things just aren't looking too good. I mean, boy, I just wish I could get some relief. I just wish something would happen. I don't know how much longer I can take this. How many of you have been there before? How you talk Monday through Saturday is the abundance of your heart. It's not what you say in here to impress everybody else, that you're a faith person, to impress me that you're walking by faith. Because we can all do that. Are you with me? Anybody can do this. I remember, I don't know if any of you saw this, but years ago at the Dayton Museum, I really liked to go there, and as kids, you know, in elementary school, they would take us and we'd go on these tours through the museum. And you'd come into this one place where they had this big, like, acrylic plastic cage. There's a chicken in there. Well, they had this chicken trained to where when the red light would come on, it would go over and grab this string and pull on the string, and some chicken feed would come down. And it would eat the chicken feed. Now, folks, that chicken could have pulled that string any time, day or night, and chicken feed would have come down. But the only thing it knew was red light. I don't even know if they could see red. It just knew when light came on, pull string, chicken feed. Light, string, chicken feed. Light, string, chicken feed. I mean, this chicken thought it had it made, you know. As long as there are people coming through here, especially kids, this light's going to come on, and I'm going to get some more chicken feed. It didn't realize. It did not realize. All it had to do is pull that string anytime. Light, no light. 3 o'clock in the morning. Kids, no kids. It didn't matter. Pull the string, you're going to get chicken feed. But it had been trained to respond to the light. In the body of Christ, the full gospel, body of Christ, we have so many Christians that are trained to respond in church according to the faith message. So we say all the right things. And if somebody comes up and asks, well, you know, how you feeling? I mean, we prayed for you last week. Everything okay? Oh, yes, in Jesus' name, I'm healed. Oh, glory to God. I just want a shandai all over this church. It's so wonderful. But Monday through Saturday, the way you talk when you're away from here, that's the abundance of your heart. And it's not just as it would apply to your physical healing. It's to your home, your job situation. It's anything at all. Absolutely anything that pertains to your life. The abundance of your heart produces your confession. If the abundance of your heart is not the Word of God, then what's going to come out is not going to be faith. It's not going to be the Word of God. It's not going to be things that are pleasing unto Him. It's going to be everything else but. And the only way you're going to be able to change that is by consciously thinking about what you are about to say, because you're in the presence of the pastor and everybody else in the church, and you know what you're supposed to talk about. You're not supposed to say negative things. And so you're on your guard when you're around everybody else. But when you let your guard down, that's when your heart has the opportunity to release what's in it in abundance. See? This is exactly why a lot of Christians are living in lives. I don't know if that makes sense. Living lives. There's just a lot of problems. Now, we have established that God's Word is truth. Now, whether I want to accept all of what I see in God's Word or not, I mean, that's my choice. I can, you know, pick it apart like, you know, picking chicken off the bones and everything else and just leave the parts of the chicken. If I only want the white meat of God's Word, then I'll take the white meat. If I only want the dark meat, I'll just take the dark meat. If all I want is the legs, I'll just take the legs. You know, whatever. I can do that if I want to. But it's not going to change the fact that this Word is truth. All of it, from kibber to kibber, it is truth. Faith, I can say that I am living by faith. But if I am in any way, shape, or form neglecting the Word, then it's questionable whether or not I'm really living by faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's no other way around this. I build myself up on my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So, when it comes to me allowing God in the person of the Holy Spirit help me in the area of my faith walk, if I am not praying in the Holy Ghost, I have no reason to believe that I'm being built up on my most holy faith that has come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. These are undeniable truths. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Now, our lives literally are a byproduct of what we believe. Simply put, but it's true. If you're born again, it's a byproduct of what you believed. You believed that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is Lord and Savior. And because you believed that, you made a choice to act upon that out of the abundance of your heart as a lost person. You confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And you became born again. Now that you're born again, your life is a result of what started when you first accepted Jesus Christ. And the process by which you experienced being born again is the same process that is going to continue to change your life step by step, deeper and deeper into God. So therefore, our lives are a direct result or byproduct of the abundance of our hearts and the abundance or our confession. Our lives are a direct result of our confession, and our confession is a direct result of the abundance of our heart. Now see, this is a real challenge for some people, because you have Christians that have had areas of their lives that have been messed up for years. It could be anything. But you know, it's just been the same kind of a thing, same kind of a problem. It's like I've been living with this dark cloud of whatever over me for the last 15 years. Where's God? I'm a faith man. These things are supposed to change. I thought, Pastor, you said, and I heard the preacher on television, and he said, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God. The love of God causes faith to work, and the Holy Spirit sheds the love of God and brought in your heart. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The just shall live by faith. And the only way the just can live by faith is by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and praying in the Holy Ghost, and build themselves up on the most holy faith. Goes round in circles. But you see, this is a self-evident truth, because it is God's Word. And the product of all of that is, out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth will speak. So therefore, if I've been struggling with the same problem for 25 years, I have no other conclusion to come to other than I have not developed my faith to the point to deal with that problem. Now, that's an indictment on all of us in the body of Christ, because we have these expectations that God's going to just come in and sweep down like he's in some kind of a spaceship and just swoosh down and shoot a few laser beams of glory into our lives and change everything and then swoosh back up into heaven. Well, why should God do something for us that he didn't even do for his own son, Jesus Christ? Jesus lived by faith. Go read the story. Read the four Gospels and see how he lived. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The just shall live by faith. Man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Not by bread and every word. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Therefore, if there's a part of my life that I want to see changed, I am supposed to live in that part of my life by every word that has proceeded forth out of the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I build myself up on my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I keep myself in the love of God, and we're not going to go through all of that again. But you're starting to get the picture. We have been trained to live dependently on other people. If I could just get to Brother Hagin's meeting, if I could just get to Brother Roberson's meeting, if I could just get to Elaine Homer's meeting, if I could just get to Norval Hayes' meeting, if I could just get to this one, that one, and the other one, if I could just get to their meeting, then I know they could lay hands on me. I know they could pray for me. I know they could take a stand in my life. I know they could help me out. I know things would change. And it's possible. It's possible that God could move through them in a way to make a change in some things. But do you understand that in the grand scope of things, that is very rare? We see a Benny Hinn meeting, and we see all these people that get ministered to. What percentage do you think that represents in the entire body of Christ? There are 6 billion plus people alive on planet Earth. I have heard that approximately 2 billion of those people are born again. Out of the 25,000 people at one Benny Hinn service, maybe 1,000 come up and receive a miracle, we'll say. That's 1/25th of the group in that auditorium. Out of 2 billion people, what does 1,000 turn out to be, percentage-wise? I mean, we're talking about 0.000. Are you with me? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If there's an area of your life that has not been changed, and you say, well, I've been making confessions, I've been speaking against it, but I haven't seen anything change. Well, maybe you haven't. What does that say, though, about God's Word? Does that make God's Word wrong? Does that make God's Word of none effect just because you haven't yet seen the manifestation of it? I'm going to give you an example. The other night, we went through and we did warfare in the area of finances. We made a lot of confessions, intercession, as far as our financial conditions are concerned. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That is God's word. That is a self-evident truth. Here's my confession in line with that. Jesus was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, and he took all of my poverty. Now, his grace abounds toward me. I am rich, I always have all sufficiency in all things, and I abound to every good work. But I'm not seeing it manifested in my life. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You build yourself up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Your faith is released through your confession. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. Therefore, if it takes reading this 500,000 times before these self-evident truths of God's Word become the abundance of your heart, that's what you have to do. Because until this self-evident truth becomes the abundance of your heart, you'll just show up here in this church and make these confessions. But when you leave, you're going to complain about your money problems. In other words, the abundance of your heart is what you see that you call money problems. The abundance of your heart is not the self-evident truth of God's Word. And so if I have to take this and read it and read it and read it and read it, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Every time I go through and I make these confessions and read these things, faith is coming, faith is coming, faith is coming. Do you understand? I don't have to feel it coming. In fact, I'll feel it. It'll feel like it's not coming because my mouth will get dry and tired. You know, my speech might start to get a little bit slurred. I could get really bored. It'll get to the place my mind says, I am out of here. You go ahead and talk all you want, but I'm going down to Florida. I say, no, you come back here, mind. You're paying it. If I have to stand here and read this, you're going to pay attention with me. But what will happen is this. These self-evident truths pertaining to your finances, or the self-evident truths in God's Word pertaining to healing, or to joy, or to peace, or to whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is, these self-evident truths will eventually become the abundance of your heart. Then, out of that abundance, your heart or your mouth automatically speaks. You don't have to sit back and think about what's the proper confession right now. The proper confession comes out because it's the abundance of your heart. That's why this is so important for us. And this is why so many Christians aren't seeing manifestations in their lives. It's because they mentally assent to the fact that yes, this is true and I cannot change this. But I've not come to the place of actually believing that I have to do this, I have to get in this, I have to read this, I have to speak this, I have to continue to deposit it in me so that it becomes the abundance of my heart and the other stuff becomes the minuscule part of my heart. And out of the abundance of my heart, I then will begin to speak automatically. I won't have to think about it. It just becomes a part of my normal lifestyle. And so, see, the first thing I have to do is come to the place of believing that all of these self-evident truths are true. I have to come to the point of just simply accepting the fact that the junk I hear or have heard or personally believe, and listen, you know, you get around enough Christians and you're going to hear a whole lot of crazy stuff. Some of it you think, well, maybe yes, maybe no. Other you're going to think, I know. There's no way. We've all got the same Bible. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If I pray in the Holy Spirit, He's going to be able to get in there and take the word that I have deposited on the inside of me. And if somebody else has come along and taught me incorrectly pertaining to those passages, he then is going to be able to correct it. He's going to say, no, 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 that's wrong. Let me tell you what really is happening. Let me tell you what this passage really says. Let me tell you what God's really trying to get across to you in this. He's your teacher. Leads and guides you into all truth, including the truth about faith. You know, when you take a look at the ministry of Jesus, I can't read that he said anything goofy. He was accused of trying to do the wrong things. The only reason he was accused of that was because the people that were accusing him had gone goofy. And so they're trying to compare Jesus to their goofiness. You can't do that. When God's word becomes the abundance of your heart, and you begin to release that abundance out, not because you have to sit and think about what should I say, but because it is the natural byproduct of what is in you, you are going to see things change in your life. This is not a debatable issue. It's not a maybe it will, maybe it won't. This is a guaranteed, because this is here a book full of undeniable truths, self-evident truths that have been established by God. They will change everything about you, no matter what it is. If I'm struggling in the area, and see, I can't put the blame on anybody else but me. And the deeper I go into God, the more blame I have to accept for myself. Because the more I know, the more I'm accountable for. Therefore, I have to sit back and look at my own life, and if I see something in my life that I want changed, but it hasn't changed, then I have to make the assumption I need more abundance in my heart. I need more abundance in my heart. And again, I'm going to use myself as an example. My eyes. My eyes are healed. But yet I stand before you with contact lens in each eye. You say, well, Brother Martin, that's a contradiction of what you just declared. You said your eyes are healed. If your eyes are healed, then why do you need contact lens? God's word says my eyes are healed. But until the manifestation of that healing, I'm going to be a fool to pop these contacts out or smash my glasses and try to drive you home. Are you with me?
No.
You walk? Jerry's going to walk. I got two good thumbs, Brother Martin. Two good thumbs. Recently, I went to the eye doctor for an exam because the contacts I had before, it was getting so I couldn't wear them about 4 or 5 hours, and terrible irritation. And the next morning, it'd be gunk in my eyes and all this. So I went and I talked to him about it. And he says, well, you have gas permeable contacts. They're thinner than regular contact lenses. They warp easier, and they need to be replaced about every 2 or 3 years. And so he did all the tests and all that other and ordered me some new contacts. And the first time I started to put them in, I could literally feel a difference. I mean, if you wear contacts, I don't mean the soft ones, but if you've ever worn hard or gas permeable lenses, I mean, you can feel them in your hands. I could feel a difference in the shape of that lens compared to my old one. That's how much they had warped, the old ones. And so I put the new ones in. Another thing they did, he tested my eyes and he said, well, he says it's bifocal time. And so I'm waiting for the bifocal lenses to come in. He said, Brother Martin, it sounds like you don't know what you believe. What I believe is this. I am going to do everything to enhance my functionability in society. And vision is something that's very important. I want to be able to read my Bible. I want to be able to work on my computer and read your emails to me. I want to be able to drive. I want to be able to do these things. And so I will do what's necessary to enhance my vision, but at the same time, I'm still confessing. My eyes are healed. And I talked to them. I talked to them today. I'm driving down the road. I said, "Eyes, you're healed. You're healed. Do you hear me? You're healed. You don't need corrective lenses. Jesus paid too high of a price for you to go for years and years like this, to have to need glasses and need contacts. So eyes, you're healed." And I'm telling you, line up with the Word of God. You're healed. Do you hear me? You're healed, eyes. You see better than you've ever seen before, with or without corrective lenses. You see perfectly. You see gloriously. You are healed, eyes. I talk to my eyes like that. You know what? One day I'm going to be standing up here and I'm going to be telling you, "Hey guys, no contacts, no glasses, and I can read the clock."
"Yeah, you can read it, but you don't pay attention to it."
This is an undeniable truth, folks. When these undeniable truths become the abundance of our heart, our outward confession will automatically line up with these undeniable truths, these self-evident truths, and we won't have to sit and think about it. When the abundance of our heart is at that level, we will begin to see things changing in our lives. I did not say you will wake up one morning and everything has changed. That could happen. I'm saying you will begin to see changes in your lives. Some changes may be instantaneous. Some changes may be gradual. But these are self-evident truths. These are unchangeable truths. And the only way they can be rendered of none effect is by your self-designed traditions of not getting into the self-evident truths, not praying in the Holy Spirit. See, but in the meantime, what am I supposed to do? Consciously override whatever is the abundance of your heart and don't let it escape your mouth. Even if you feel like it is nothing more than a mental exercise, you still stand there and say, "Oh, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, by His stripes I was healed." Hey, a little bit of faith just came. It's all a part of the transformation process. Every one of you in here, you need to change everything that needs to be changed. Everything that needs to be changed. You have, all by yourself, the capacity and the potential to change everything about your lives. And you don't need me to lay hands on you. I will. You don't need Kenneth Copeland to lay hands on you. He will. You don't need Elaine Homer to lay hands on you. She will. But all by yourself, as a child of God, you have this potential. He put it in you. Now, let's develop it and start changing things and really become a thorn to the devil. Hallelujah. Go ahead and stand up.